Welcome to this podcast in CSEE's Character Education Series. Dr. John Roberts has been leading CSEE's workshops on honor systems for a dozen years now, and was the longtime advisor to the Honor Council at the Westminster Schools in Atlanta, Georgia. He is the author of two textbooks and a number of professional articles. Most recently, John completed a revision of CSEE's Handbook for Developing and Sustaining Honor Systems. So let's listen now to Dr. John Roberts.
Lagniap is a lovely word my Cajun wife taught me. It means an unexpected gift, a little something extra. It is a French word from southwest Louisiana that springs to mind when I think about honor codes. You see, honor codes offer lagniap to schools. In fact, supersized lagniap. Most people would probably agree that the two primary purposes of an honor code are to protect and to punish, to protect the community against unethical abuse, and to punish and, if possible, reclaim the malefactors. Now, these twin functions can certainly be addressed through alternative approaches. For instance, in many schools, protection and punishment are duties delegated to administrators. There is no question about it. Life is simpler if, say, the head of school or the dean of students dispatches all issues of integrity. But what justifies the less efficient nature of honor systems is the lagniap, all the extra gifts or benefits not evident at first glance. In the next dozen minutes, we will explore some of these other payoffs. I have organized them under seven headings: celebrating core values, projecting school goals, building moral leaders, offering meaningful roles, turning students into teachers, providing early alerts, and forming ethical habits. First, celebrating core values. An honor code can recognize and thus reinforce a school's existing core values. An honor code is good public relations, of course, but it is much more than that. The honor code can educate the larger community about what the institution stands for, and also serve as a useful reminder for those on the inside. By prominently emphasizing ethical and moral principles, an honor code can help a school firm up the foundation that undergirds all its programs, from academics and athletics to arts and ancillaries. This kind of public reiteration is valuable precisely because what is obvious tends over time to recede from awareness. Second, projecting school goals. In addition to emphasizing existing values, a code can help a school set forth clear goals that may not yet be universally subscribed to by students, parents, teachers, or other constituencies. As schools strive to admit a more diverse student body, they can no longer assume that families will bring a shared set of assumptions and values to the campus. Perhaps that homogeneity never did exist, but if such a golden age ever pertained, it clearly no longer does. Bringing together different faith traditions, ethnic identities, socioeconomic strata is more of a conscious goal today in independent schools than ever before. But while e pluribus unum is an American mantra, the more a school embraces pluribus, the harder it is to achieve unum. A code can help. Third, building moral leaders. All schools are, quite properly, preoccupied with developing student leadership. Insofar as honor systems incorporate students in the judicial and counseling aspects, leadership growth is encouraged in a very significant and even unique way. Not even the student body president or the football team captain must look fellow students in the eye and say, "You have failed us here and here, but here is the path to redemption, and we will help you walk it." Students on an honor council get that difficult and rewarding opportunity on a regular basis. Such challenging moments really stimulate growth, and the growth is not restricted to students on the council or students who come before the council. Simply having an honor code can produce a salutary ripple effect, like leaven permeating a batch of dough. Derek Bach has suggested that the single best thing about an honor code is that it gives students a chance to wrestle with personal moral choices. In his 1990 book, Universities and the Future of America, Bach wrote this: "Perhaps the greatest benefit of honor systems is the stimulus they give students to think about their own moral responsibility and to discuss the subject among themselves." Bach reminds us that what we all want is not just leaders, but moral leaders, and a code can help develop them. Fourth, offering meaningful roles. Let's consider this point about leadership a bit more. Serving on an honor council is a growth experience for students, in large part because they have meaningful leadership roles, not merely ceremonial or perfunctory ones. Rather than robotically applying rules laid down by adults, students on an honor council help interpret and shape the school's policies and procedures. And this constant evaluating and fine-tuning of the honor system helps keep the official code and actual community practice from drifting apart over time. Schools with vibrant honor systems find ways to extend this particular strength, ideally involving everyone in a kind of ongoing feedback loop to synchronize code and culture. For example, the Honor Council can arrange for student newspaper surveys, or conduct exit interviews with graduating seniors, or moderate public discussion forums where teachers and parents, as well as students, are welcome. Fifth, turning students into teachers. I have just said that honor councils develop meaningful student leadership, but let me put it more dramatically now. An honor system gives teenagers the rare opportunity to teach the adults. An anecdote from a recent CSEE honor conference provides illustration. In one school, teacher A gave math tests on which calculators were permitted only on the colored pages, while teacher B allowed calculators only on the white pages. After several cheating cases were referred to them by math teachers, the honor council members asked to meet with the math department. The students pointed out that although the policies were perfectly clear to the teachers themselves, students going from teacher A one semester to teacher B the next semester or the next year understandably could get confused and consequently find themselves facing an honor question. Thanks to the students, the math department hammered out a consistent policy for all its teachers to follow: C equals C. Colored paper is for calculators. Not surprisingly, that was just about the end of math cases involving calculators being used on non-calculator sections of tests. We teachers sometimes forget that students have lots of classroom experience, and an honor system can give them a legitimate opportunity to switch pedagogical places with us. Sixth, providing early alerts. Another significant benefit is that an honor code often provides a kind of early warning radar. Most students do not engage in unethical behavior because they are just plain evil. More typically, students who are already under pressure outside the classroom will then make poor decisions in the classroom. While the school might not yet be aware that a particular student is, let's say, experimenting with drugs or struggling with an impending divorce at home, that underlying stress often comes to light in an honor investigation. Intervention and remediation can then begin significantly earlier than might otherwise happen. Seventh, forming ethical habits. If we just highlight the obvious goals of an honor code, protection and punishment, we might overlook something truly fundamental. I mean the importance of forming good habits. In Robert Bellah's felicitous phrase, habits of the heart. Nearly 2.5 millennia ago, Aristotle pointed out that moral growth is a matter of habit formation. Individuals become home builders by building homes and lyre players by playing the lyre, Aristotle wrote. So too, by doing just deeds, we become just, and by moderate deeds, moderate, and by courageous deeds, courageous. An honor code contributes to this forming of ethical habits, both individually and communally, in an especially powerful way. Donald McCabe of Rutgers, our preeminent researcher on cheating at the college level, often notes that in any school there are three kinds of people: those who will cheat no matter what, those who will not cheat no matter what, and all the others in the middle who could go either way. What an honor code does, explains McCabe, is make it easier for those in the middle to do the right thing. And doing the right thing repeatedly then